that. That's good. Love that. 33 after. Welcome, Governor Howard Dean.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm great. I'm in sunny and beautiful Chicago.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to thank you. Thank you so much for getting rid of my old election supervisor, Teresa Lepore.
Oh, isn't that great? Well, she's calling for a recount. This is not done yet. She's the one who counts the votes. She can't find 6,000 of them, so we got to worry about that still.
Are you kidding me? Because I'm in New York. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding.
She's doing her own recount on her own election?
I don't know anything about that, but I know she's asked for a recount. They can't find 6,000 votes.
Oh, for God's sake.
That's exactly why we needed to go find somebody else. We have a great guy who won the election last night.
I know, Dr. Arthur Anderson. Yeah, and I was in Florida for years and years and years. You'll get used to me. Yeah, Wexler's my congressman.
Oh, is that right?
You know
all about this. This is your district.
Oh, yeah, I was there for 2000. And
place of the hanging chads.
Yeah, well, that wasn't the problem. And now, you know, of course, guys like you know it. The problem was that, you know, they just didn't want to count the votes. That equal protection thing, that was amazing to me. That was.
Yeah, you know what's more interesting, though, is that the technology that they use to substitute is worse than the hanging chads.
I know it is. And
electronic voting machines, you really have to watch out for. And they're all over Florida, unfortunately.
What are we going to do about that?
Well, I think John Kerry is going to have a legal team in every precinct, and we need poll. We're trying to get people to function as observers. We're really going to have a team and observers in every precinct in America that has these machines because they're so unreliable.
Well, what was that guy from Diebold or Diebold, however the hell you say it, who said in Ohio, no less, in the greatest swing competition ever, he said, the owner, I'm going to get George Bush the electoral votes that he needs.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to do everything in my power to re-elect George Bush.
What the hell was that?
You make voting machines, that doesn't give you a lot of confidence in the process, does it?
No, it doesn't. And, you know, I've talked to Bev Harris, the black box voting guru, really, and she says this is really bad technology. Yesterday I was reading a newspaper, and I saw in there that now they're going to let some of the troops vote by email. Now, Governor, you know, email is the most insecure method of communication on the Internet. So
yeah, I don't know. That's probably not legal in most states, but there are some states that they have tried it. And I don't think they actually tried it in elections. The Democrats tried it in a couple of primaries, and I think Arizona tried it. But there were some problems.
Yeah, oh, no, it's the most insecure, really, of all the ways that you could use a computer. The most insecure method is email. There's, you know, different kinds of ways to use a computer to give yourself more security, which is why, you know, a lot of documents are PDF files. And there's just like a million different things you could do.
The best Secretary of State in America is a guy named Bill Bradbury in Oregon.
Yeah.
And he got a law passed in 1981 that said you may not use any way of voting.
That what? I lost you. Come back. Come back, Governor Howard Dean. Come back.
I think we lost him. I'll call him back, okay?
All right. Call me back.
I'll call you back,
I feel so detached from my own show, like, call me back. All right. In the meantime, just put somebody on the line with me. I don't really care who.
All right. Give me just a second to...
just pick somebody.
Let's just do this. Robert in Idaho. You're on the air.
Idaho? Oh, my God.
Idaho.
Damn.
I'm here. Yeah, we spoke before. I told you.
Oh, I remember you. I remember you. You're my only Idaho caller. How could I forget?
Well, I'm the only liberal in Idaho.
I know.
That's not true, actually. I just talked to the campaign chairman here, and he said that we're like just inches from being a purple state.
Oh, really? No, come on. Well,
yeah,
you know, maybe.
There's a chance.
Maybe. You know why? Idaho is fiercely independent. It's sort of like...
Randy, we have Governor Dean back.
All right, Robert, I'm going to have this conversation with you about Idaho and how you can promote Kerry over Bush by appealing to people's independence.
Absolutely.
All right, so let me go back to Governor Dean, and I'll talk to you tomorrow about this, all right?
Okay.
All right, thanks. Listen, tomorrow...
I didn't know Carl Rowe was investing in the cell phone company.
You know?
Hey, that was Randy from Idaho.
Robert from Idaho.
Robert from Idaho. That's
a liberal. Crazy. He's a liberal in Idaho, and he thinks that he might have a chance of being a purple state, he thinks.
Well, you know something?
What?
Only liberals balance budgets. Conservatives don't balance budgets.
Yeah, that's
anymore.
What
ever
I'm saying.
Ronald, ever since Ronald Reagan, and that Idaho people are conservative about money. And
yes.
And to remind them, the biggest deficits in America's history are Ronald Reagan, George Bush the first, and now George Bush the second.
Yep.
Only a Democrat has balanced a budget in the last 34 years in Washington. that's well worth reminding voters.
Right. It's Bill Clinton's economy that he inherited, advantage of, and stole. You know, you know what I like the best about you is you'll use the hard words. I have said to certain senators and congressmen in my day, why don't you just say the president is lying? And why do you have to pick the hardest thing to do? And Randy, I appreciate what you're saying, but you can't call the president of the United States a liar. Why can't you? I don't understand. They called Bill Clinton a liar for 8 years.
I agree with the senators and congressmen on that. No respectable first senator called Bill Clinton a liar. That was all the right wing wackos that were doing all that.
Well, I don't know today. Well, that's true. We asked Bob Barton.
Look, the president didn't tell the truth. We know that.
Yeah, I know that.
What we don't know is if he knew that he wasn't telling the truth. We can guess, but we don't know that.
Which president are you talking about? This one?
George Bush.
Oh, no. George Bush knew he was lying. George Bush had to know he was lying because, look. First of all,
it could be that Dick Cheney altered those reports, and that Scooter Libby, who's his chief of staff, altered the reports before they got to the president. We don't know. I mean, we know what the president didn't make any sense in what he did, but we don't know if his administration clearly lied. We don't know if he is the one that altered the reports and didn't tell us the truth, or if that was the people around him.
Well, that's a pretty interesting take on it, but I'll say this. If you're going to put your national security advisor, your vice president, et cetera, on TV, right there on the TV, which is all that matters anymore, and they're going to sit there and say, we didn't have enough imagination and we never thought that airplanes would be used as missiles, when clearly it was in the Hart-Rudman Commission as early as that, if not before.
Right. Well, I would never make the argument that this president was competent.
Right. Well,
he's not qualified to be president. There's no question about that. He can't, he's made us much weaker. Our defense is weaker.
Right.
We are less able to fight terrorism today than we were when he took office. I mean, there's no question that the president's made us weaker, both economically.
So you're saying to me that the reason why the senators are giving me a hard time, my own party senators, guys typically I can count on, are giving me a hard time, is because the president's got either a learning deficit disorder, I don't know, or he's got Cheney manipulating the intelligence to him, and no one in the administration includes him in the truth of the intelligence, and or that the president is too lazy to even read it, and so you can't prove he lied.
Right.
You're amazing. I don't know. That's pretty incredible to me. Well, all right, let me work this one out with you then. So it's September 11th, and four planes are going to make U-turns in the sky all across America. And the president is left on his own. He's sitting in a chair, and he doesn't move. Could have been a nuclear attack. Could have been a dirty bomb on any of those airplanes. When he found out about it, one had already hit. He lied. He said that was one bad pilot. Said he saw it. Walked into the classroom anyway. How do you explain that?
I don't. I wasn't there.
No. I mean, is that stupid?
I don't know. I wasn't there, and I don't know. I think the biggest issue is not that. I actually think that we're going to get farther. Not so much attacking the president's character, although I think his character is suspect, and people don't believe him and don't trust him, a lot of people.
I know.
The real problem is this presidency is such a failure. The first president to lose jobs since the Great Depression, Herbert Hoover. The first president to run a $500 billion deficit, record deficit in the country's history. The first president to make sure that 500,000 children got kicked off health insurance because of his...
Well, he did that in Texas, too, you know.
Oh, yeah, he lost 200,000 of those kids lost their health insurance in Texas while he was governor.
Right.
This is not a guy that you want to have lead the greatest country in the world, because if you have him lead it very long, it won't be the greatest country in the world much longer. That's really why I was so mad at the president during the campaign. I think this is a great country we live in. And
we all do. That's the whole reason why it hurts us so bad. To see what they're doing to it.
They deserve better than George Bush.
I agree. You know what I used to say to people? I still do, and if I were in the studio, I would say it, but I'm here at this Mooney convention. I don't know what the hell this is, but it's really kind of creepy. I got to tell you, the look in people's eyes and the things they say to each other, like, the GOP is the party of God. Oh, it's just unnerving. But
we hospitalize people like that sometimes.
Yeah, but we don't have mental health insurance anymore. We don't have sanitariums anymore,
which we desperately
need. You know, people are running around on the Madison Square Garden floor, and they need to have some insurance there. But I used to tell people all the time that they are smarter than George W. Bush. And quite frankly, we need a president that's smarter than me. I need a president that's smarter than the callers. So, you know, and we don't have that with this guy. The callers to this show, to the callers to any radio talk show, when you listen to them, they wrap their brains around issues. They read newspapers. They, you know, they work really hard at it. They're smarter than the president. That's not what we deserve. We deserve real leadership. So,
are you having any fun at that the convention?
No, I'm not. I really wish you were here. I really do. Just, you know, I'll tell you, the bright spot of my day was Sheila Jackson Lee, because I've been friends with her for a really long time.
Oh, she was great.
Well, I love everybody on Judiciary, because Wexler introduced me to everybody that he worked with, so I knew Conyers and her for years. But truly, she was the only bright spot in my day. I mean,
she's at the convention?
Yeah, she's standing right in front of me, actually. She can't hear you.
She is?
Yeah, you want to talk to her?
Oh, I said hello. She's great.
Oh.
Jackson Lee. She came to Wisconsin for us, and she's just a great, loyal person.
I'm going to see if I can grab her for you. I'll tell you something. You know what happened to me? I was talking to Senator Grassley today, and I tried really, really hard to compliment him on his ability to do oversight and stuff. And I don't know. He got really mad at me because I pointed out the letters that he wrote to Ashcroft and asked him what was going on with this Justice Department.
Yeah.
Oh, I have this. Wait, here she is. I have a surprise for you. Say hello to Congressman Sheila Jackson Lee. Say hi.
Is this the governor?
Yes, it is. Hello, Sheila Jackson.
Oh,
how are you?
I am wonderful. Did
we
you?
We sure did have fun down in Texas together campaigning for Richard Morrison, who's going to beat Tom DeLay for Congress.
We are excited about that. Frankly, that was one of the most exciting opportunities.
Wait a minute. You're running somebody against DeLay? I had no
idea.
Tell me.
You have. He's only 8 points behind. He's a great guy named Richard
Morrison. An outstanding young man. Right, Governor?
Yes. I never knew that.
We had a great rally.
Never run for office before. He's great.
Oh, he is. And he has a good heart. Richard Morrison. He's a strong environmentalist.
I'm going to give him money. Morrison. And I'm going to get people to give him money.
He is
he's
an exciting young man.
He's one of our Dean Dozen, so you can look him up on democracyforamerica.com.
I will. I had no idea. I'm so glad I talked to the two of you together. Oh.
Right.
You know how I got to talk to you, to Governor Dean about you? Was he said, are you having a, you know, he hears how upset I am. He says, are you having it all a good time, man? I said, no, I wish you were here. I told him the only bright spot in my day was Sheila Jackson Lee. He says, oh, I love her. And I said, well, I'm looking right at her. Oh, go get her. So I'm so glad that I could give you a little time.
Mutual admiration society. Governor Dean's effort across the nation, I just want everybody to hear this, is one of the most powerful, effective grassroots efforts. In fact, America is thirsting after a grassroots effort to restore the average, common, ordinary person back into the political process. I want to be part of that, Governor, and you know I'm full
part of it.
Full
you know
part
you are.
Of working with, and we saw a lot of those voters in Texas. And the one thing that Governor Dean has reminded us in Texas, I think he had 1,000 people in the ballroom two Saturdays ago in Houston, is that Texas is longing to be in the Democratic column and the progressive column. And I think we have a great opportunity. And Governor Dean has taken that message all over the country. We're grateful.
Well,
the other message about Texas is we want them to be there. You know, Texans are very proud people, and they're. Last two governors, including George Bush, have been last in health insurance, children's health insurance. Their public schools are rapidly becoming last in the country. We need Texas back in Democratic hands so Texas can be proud to be number one again.
Absolutely. And we have the kind of people who care about people who are willing to improve education and health care and jobs. And frankly, that's the message that you're carrying forward and John Kerry and John Edwards are carrying forward. We're all a big team. That's what we are.
I want to be part of your team. Now, you asked Sheila, I don't know Governor Dean all that well. I think this is, the second time we've ever spoken, right?
This is a great lady, by the way, Governor.
Well, I'm happy to talk to you.
It's only the second time I've ever talked to you, Governor. But Sheila Jackson Lee and I go back probably 6 years, something like that. And, you know, I was in a little tiny town in West Palm Beach, Florida, and she had no reason to talk to my listeners. They couldn't vote for her. And she just come on anyway, and it just helped me out every time I ever needed it. And, boy, I just tell you, we've been radio buddies, and we finally got to meet in Boston and then here. So this is great. I'm glad we could all talk. I had no idea, Dean, I almost called you, like, Howard, you know. I don't even call her Sheila. Ask her. I don't after all these years. I can't do it.
Her first name is Congresswoman.
Yeah. It is to me. Actually, you know what I call her? I call her the gentle lady. I call her the gentle lady from Houston is what I call her.
That's right.
Yeah, but you know something, Governor, is the idea that you're out there doing all this, I didn't even know. You've got to tell people like me. I had
idea. We've got a big organization. It's called Democracy for America. We have 1,000 candidates around the country, some running for Congress, like Richard Morrison, some running... like Dr. Anderson against Teresa Lepore, who Dr. Anderson knocked her off.
Thank you for that. Oh, God, the Floridians are so happy.
inventor of the butterfly ballot, so we were happy to see her.
And he won, didn't he?
Yes.
He did by 3 points, but now she's asked for a recount, so she gets to count the votes.
Well, that's all right, Governor. We'll be down in Florida for that recount.
Yes, we're going to need to be, too.
Yeah, I love you guys. Thanks, Governor Dean.
Thank you all very much.
Hey, if you need me, call me, okay? And I'll do the same.
Yep.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much for everything.
And thanks for being down in our district. We all enjoyed it.
We loved it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Randy Rhodes, live at the 2004 Republican National Convention.